The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. Well, I mean, I don't know. It was maybe a year ago I went on the road with my friend Brad Bird. He was going on tour. He had a bunch of shows. And he called me up maybe a month before the thing or a little while before. He said, you want to go on the road? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And we went on the road. We went around in a Sprinter van. We played L.A. We played some strange gig in Venice that was kind of fun on the street. We went a bunch of different places. It was cool. It was like a week on the road. I hadn't been on the road in a while. I got to play with Brad, supporting him, and then he did the same thing with me. It was fun. But anyway, he is back out with a new single. Brad Bird, indie rock, alt country singer-songwriter, is already hitting the ground running in 2024 with a return to South by Southwest as an official artist for the second year in a row. Wow. Bird's new single, Cold World, is out now and is garnering a buzz in the music community and is poised to join the over 50-plus tracks off Bird's catalog to be featured on film and TV to date. He's here with us now. Welcome to the show, Brad. How are you?
I'm well, man. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. What have you been up to? You got a new single out. What have you been recording? What, you're out there in the desert in Joshua Tree. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, just put out a new song last week called Cold World, a new single. Yeah, I recorded a batch of tunes about a year ago at Sunset Sound in Los Angeles. Went in there with a band and cut like four tunes and, you know, over the course of the last year, just, you know, slowly but surely getting them mixed and trying to put them out in the world, like, you know, one every like 2 or 3 months and then all kind of leading up to an album. So this song, this first song is like the first one of the next record. And I do some recording as well in Joshua Tree at a studio out there as well.
Yeah, Dave Catching's place? Which studio? Catching's?
My buddy Dan Joyride has a great studio, man. It's called Gatos Trail. He plays drums with me most of the time as well. I mean, it's as good of a room as anything, but I've been by Dave's and, you know, that's pretty rad. Another dude who plays with the Afghan Wigs. He's got a sick studio too. But I've just pretty much working with Dan, you know, because he's kind of like part of the band, you know, if you will. It's hard to have a band, a set band, when you're a singer-songwriter, as you know. It's hard to have a set group of people.
Well, the Dave Catching studio, that's the one where them Crooked Vultures and the Desert Sessions, famously, like Queens of the Stone Age, all those sort of characters made lots of records. I got to work out there with my friend Matthias Schneeberger back in the day. The LA studio scene, every once in a while you wind up going a couple hours into the desert and disappearing into Joshua Tree. It's awesome out there,
you know. And infamously, like the Foo Fighters too, they recorded at Dave Catching's place. And when I went to Dave's, I mean, you've been there, right? I mean, it's a tiny house. It's like a house turned into a full-blown recording studio. I mean, every inch of the place has got like amps and pedals and guitars. I mean, I don't even know how the heck the Foo Fighters went in there and tracked live and made a record in that place, but it's like a small house. It just seems like the kind of place you just go in and just play strictly electric through like Marshall amps and just like make that kind of a record in there. So if I do work with Dave, I want to do something that's just like all electric guitars and loud or something different.
Seems like the desert would be a good place for acoustic music. What's your new song about? What's Cold World about?
I mean, you know, it's about the world, you know, at large, you know. I mean, you know, it's kind of a weird, you know, kind of flips it, kind of antithesis of like positive, you know, positive. Write a song that everyone's going to think is, I mean, it's uplifting and positive, but it's got this kind of like message of like, you know, it's a cold world. I mean, it's kind of like my assessment of like 50 years on the earth. Like, is it cold or is it like, you know, warm and fuzzy? I mean, I think it's like a little bit more cold leaning. And it's just like an honest assessment of the world. You know, I mean, you look at the, you know, the wars and freaking, you know, ego and just, you know, everything that goes on in this world. It's just, it's harsh out there, man. And sometimes like when you're driving in your car and like, you see like some roadkill on the side of the road and people just by. I just think, like, and not to get super dark, but it's just like, I just think about like the poor animal, man, just like living, you know, it's just, it's harsh out there. We're not too far removed from animals, you know,
and from roadkill. That's why we need God, Brad. We need God because it is a cold world. This world is brutal. That's why I'm obsessed with God, because I can't deal with the world. I need God to come and give me the light, man.
I think that's part of,
without God, when you think about the world,
it's hard to go without a higher power or God or something greater than yourself, because I don't know. I feel like life tests everybody. Like, nobody just has an easy ride. Like, this whole trip of life, like, you can, you know, be born on rich and, you know, born on third base with all the connections in the world, whatever. But trust me, somewhere along the line, you're going to get tested. And I just feel like it ultimately brings everybody to your knees at some point, you know, like, and then you have to like find something, I think, greater than yourself. I don't know how people do it that don't have like some kind of a higher power, but I get on my knees in the morning and say my prayers. Do you?
Well, I try to be silent in the morning, you know. I say prayers and gratitude, but what I really want to do is like observe my thoughts and just be in the moment and sort of in presence, because that to me is where God is. And then I'll like say thank you and sort of set intention, but it's more like I'm just getting quiet rather than saying stuff, because I feel like when I'm saying stuff, it's my ego and it's coming from my ego, and so that's who I'm trying to overcome. So I don't want him to be running the show in my prayer life. I want the God's revelation to come, and it comes in silence and presence when I'm like, and then observation of my thoughts. And I was talking to this guy yesterday, Maimonides, this Jewish philosopher teacher, and he was talking about the place where you meet God is this tunnel. It's like this tunnel of God is in presence. And so I just try to go there and arrive there as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like they say, like with meditation, I just started, you know, I've been practicing TM for years, and I just ran into a friend that just got, she was telling me how she just got back into TM and doing her 20 minutes a day, twice a day. And it kind of inspired me to like try to get back into it. And then you try to do it, and then like the day gets going and it gets busy and it's hard to get that other session in. So like now I'm just trying to do 30 minutes in the morning, and it's hard, man. It's hard to like listen, right? Like prayer is like, you know, you're praying, you're talking, and then meditation is listening, right? You know, and just asking for like, what is your will for me to do, you know, and trying to get out of your own will, which is hard because, like, you know, when you're not God conscious, you're Joe conscious or Brad conscious, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard to always stay God conscious, but like you said, to get quiet and get present. But like, if you can somehow remember throughout the day to check in and just be like, you know, check in with something greater than yourself. I mean, it keeps you on the straight and narrow, I think. And
well, it says in the Bible to hold every thought captive, right? And to pray ceaselessly. So if you think of it, it's just like return to presence over and over again. Because if you're in identifying with thoughts, then you're either in the past or the future. And the thing that keeps us in thought form identification is usually just sort of unresolved anger and just like bitterness. And the ego wants to dominate by creating more and more conflicts with people and dramas. And that's why people gossip and do all that, because it's sort of the ego, which is an illusion, sort of asserting its dominion over the entirety of your being, because it's terrified that you will see through the illusion of it, that it's not even real, that it's a construct. And that's what the going, returning to the light of presence or the light of God over and over again does for you. It breaks that down, and it's terrifying because you're like, wait a minute, I'm not even real. And you have to sort of die to yourself. But what you get from that is peace of mind.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know? No, it's, I mean, I'm staying at this Airbnb in Austin right now for South by Southwest. I've been here this whole week. And literally down the street is a church. And every day I walk by, it just says faith over fear, you know, faith over fear. And mm-hmm. I just, that's like how we enter the world, and it's just like fear is just like boom, you know what I'm saying? It's right there from the get-go, you know? And it's like we're pretty much terrified until we can find some faith to like help us, you know, not be so freaked out about life, you know what I'm saying? And it's a, you know,
yeah,
the whole thing of breathing in faith, breathing out fear. It really is a true thing, you know? And it's like, I don't know. I mean, like, no one wants to admit that they're fearful, right? But I think that's the human condition. I think the human condition is we're all petrified until...
Well, if you're in your ego, you are fearful. But that's the whole point. That's the motivation to get into presence and to let your ego, to die of the false self, because the false self is fear-based.
Yeah.
It's like fueled right. by fear, whereas presence is faith-based.
Exactly. No, absolutely, man. You know, and I think a lot of people don't get that part of it. They just think of getting silent and, you know, drinking a protein shake and, you know, I mean, you know, doing some Pilates. I mean, they forget about the spiritual realm. They forget about the faith aspect because they think of it as a religious thing, you know, and then it gets kind of convoluted that way. But I think if it's just more of a universal spirituality that they can sort of tap into, but most people can't, they can't get there. You know what I'm saying? If they get there, they can't stay there, you know, and it's hard. And I'm not saying I've got it all figured out because I toggle in and out, you know, and I think we all do, you know, I think we all toggle in and out, even if you're like super hardcore reading the Bible every day, you know, like, you know, we get tested constantly. You know, sometimes I just want to be like, God, like how many tests do you have to put me through? You know,
that's like that meme, God, quit giving me your hardest test. And then Jesus is like, you're literally trying to cook salmon in your dishwasher or something like that. There's a funny meme that always has things. Yeah, I think it's down to like if you get humbled enough, man, it depends. Like it depends on. If life is working for you, the material plane, if the designs of your ego are successful to the degree that they can be, I don't think it's real possible for you to sort of dedicate yourself to presence. I mean, there's a quote in the Bible that says it's easier for a camel to make it through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, because for a rich man, all his designs are working for him. So why would he allow the false construct he's made be obliterated for peace of mind when the material realm he's in is like doing its dance, and he's got the chicks, and he's got the drugs and alcohol, and he's got the Tesla, the new Tesla truck and everything. Like, why is he going to try to like silence himself? He's not going to do that. I mean, you have to get humbled to a point where, you know, you're broken and it doesn't work anymore, and you're in despair, and your chick left, and you're no longer the cool guy at the party and all that, and then you're ready to do the deep work of obliterating the false self.
Right. It's like, be careful what you wish for. You know, you grow up and you're like, oh, you know, these people have money, wouldn't that be great to have money? But like you're saying, a lot of these people that do have riches and, you know, extravagance in their life, it's harder for them to get to that place of humility. You know, it's really hard. You know, they have other layers of stuff built on top of the ego, you know, You know, so it's like, be careful what you wish for, you know. I mean, humility, maybe there's an advantage to kind of growing up, you know, humble, you know, with kind of middle class or you know, not so well off, you know, if you really think about it. You know, or get it, you know, because life, you're going to get humbled at some point. There's no way around it, you know, and it's just
like, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with money. I'm not trying to demonize the money. It's for the love of money is the root of all evil, but money itself is not evil. And of course, I mean, I want abundance and to be able to, you know, support my daughter and generations to come and all that. Like, I have high dreams in that regard, but at the same time, I've gone through a lot of humbling in recent years, and it's led me to a path that I don't think I would trade in necessarily. I mean, I know where my life was heading when everything was kind of working in a certain way, and it wasn't very good. I mean, and then a lot of humbling events happened, and where my life is heading now feels way, way better because I have a sense of purpose that's outside of trying to create some kind of musical masterpiece or sort of become rich and famous in any kind of way. Although I'm still pursuing all that stuff, it's in the backdrop of pursuing presence. So it's in its right place, rather than that used to be my first and foremost, like making stuff, making sure I make this hit record, getting rich and famous. That was like my primary purpose. Whereas now it's definitely not my primary purpose. But I'm still making an album. I'm still working on YouTube videos and writing a blog and stuff that's asking for attention on one level. But it's really the motivation is to try to give something. And then, yeah, if it can help me make a good living, that's great.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I think you have to find a purpose. And then I think and place that above your art, you know, above your the thing that you do, you know. And I think when you can find that, if you're lucky enough to find it, and I know you and I have been talking about this for years. I remember when you and I were talking about this in LA, you know, when we first met, like years ago, just like how we're into this, you know, being sober, being present, trying to help people, you know, and trying to be of service and all that kind of stuff, and having that kind of a purpose in your life is such a gift, because most people are just, you know, they're not even thinking of that, man. They're self-absorbed to the max, you know?
You think so? You think most people aren't thinking? I think a lot of people are thinking, though, because like the light journey of life, you start becoming really empty if you're not sort of thinking of stuff like that, I think, at a certain point.
Sure. But I think most people aren't. I think most people are walking around in fear and self and just haven't had the luxury of that we have, you know. Somehow maybe God chooses us for certain people to get into, you know turning things over to something greater than yourself earlier than most, you know. So, you know, I mean, it's all a gift, and it's like once you find that purpose too, subsequently even the art and the thing that you're doing, I think, even gets better. You know, you're getting closer as you get clearer
and more. Yeah, better.
I think equally your art gets
I think so, for sure. It gets stronger because you're not putting weird weight on it. When your ego is all over it, it's putting all this strange karma and weird bones, and just it, when you clear it of all that, you know, and you're out of your own way, the stuff becomes real powerful. Let me take a quick break. We'll be right back to hear a new song by Brad Bird right after these words on TNT.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
I'm your retirement fear, but don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Pre-retirement? Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pretirement.org.
Retirement savings options? Potential tax breaks?
Yep. Boo.
Oh, I could build up savings for my side hustle. This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisisretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. Here I am with Brad Bird. He's going to do a song for us, maybe two. Brad, what do you got for us?
Thank you, man. This is a new song. It's coming out in a couple of months. It's called Let It Ride. And it's just about trying to be in acceptance of what is, you know, and trying to let go of a lot of stuff, anger, resentment, and just all the things that happened to us.
Nice.
In this crazy journey. Hope it sounds okay out there. It's called Let It Ride.
How many seasons do we have in life? How many phases till we get it right? As I'm in search of the truth and all I see is fake, it's hard to stay in the light when you're swallowed by the hate. And let it ride. You pass me by. How many chances did I have to get it right? And how many lessons do we have to learn? That when you play with fire, sooner or later you get burned. Let it ride. Separated, I slipped off track. For now, for now. I'll let it ride. How many seasons do we have in life? How many stages till we give up the fight? As I'm in search of the truth and all I see is fake, it's hard to stay on the road when you're running out of faith. Let it ride. Let it ride.
Sounds good, man. I like it. I like the line about fake. Fake is a good lyric, huh?
Right? Fake plastic trees? No.
I don't know. It's powerful. It's good when you say it. That line is really nice. And then it's hard to stay on the road when you're losing faith. I mean, you're pretty much a road warrior. You do other things, but you're out there booking your own shows. You know, you got a nice Sprinter van, but it's nitty gritty what you're out there doing. How do you keep the faith alive?
Man, it's like, it's super hard, man. You know, it's like, there's some the highs are super high and the lows are pretty low, you know, and it's a whole mixed bag. Like last night I played an official showcase here in Austin for Southwest Southwest in front of like hundreds of people, you know, at a great venue here called the Continental Club. I don't know if you know it. And
I've played the Continental Club before.
Have you really?
Yeah, before? I think so.
Love it. And I played the Saxon Pub the other night, which is a venue I've always wanted to play in Austin. Super, you know, amazing turnouts. But then like the show between this was like to barely anybody, you know, so it's like it's a mixed bag, man, you know. And it's like, you know, we it's not every day that we get, you know, great opportunities to open for people and do great shows with houses. So yeah, no, it's hard, man. It's hard to keep going. But
what keeps you going?
Just, you know, the love of just playing my music, man, you know, singing these songs and in front of some people, you know. And I always say it's got to be a crowd, but to be honest, man, if it's 5 people, 10 people, I'd rather play to 5 or 10 people that are listening than a room full of people that are chatting and drinking and disconnected, even if there's a room full of people. So, you know, it just, the feeling, man, I mean, you could say it's sort of like a high, but, you know, that high of connecting with people and just feeling that, you know, you've made that connection and you've moved somebody, you know. You know, and you have that gift, man. You have that gift to move people with your music. And not, you know, a lot of people doing music out there in the world, but, you know, not many that can truly move people, you know. And I think when you know that you can do that and you felt that power of being able to actually move somebody, it's a high, man. It's a powerful feeling, you know. And it's and I guess that's what keeps me going after it. And like, but then I go back to the desert and, you know, I want to get off social media and I only want to play certain shows. And then time goes by and then I get out on the road like this a little bit. And next thing you know, it turns back on again. Now I'm like looking to book shows like super last minute, like, you know. like last year when I hit you up, I'm like, dude, I'm coming back from Southwest Southwest.
Let's talk about South by Southwest really quick, though, because that's a huge event. I mean, I've done it. I mean, that's been around forever. And what it used to be, I mean, I think I did it in the real early years of it. And it was like the idea was it was a big music industry event and you could find connections. I guess unsigned bands could potentially get record deals. If you were signed, you could get a booking agent, or it was a place to connect. It was like a big music industry staple. And then it branched out into the tech world. And then it became like, I remember like, I don't even know how many years ago, it became just massive in terms of REM played there. I remember I was playing there 1 year when REM played there, and it just became just a really big music event. I can't imagine what it's even, I sort of tuned out to it at that point, because the other thing is you're expected to sort of play for free, I think, most of the time, and it's really difficult to get there. Hotels and everything obviously go through the roof at that point, because you have an entire industry coming there. And then now you have multiple industries. I know there's a film festival as well, but I know the tech world has gotten involved. I don't even know what the music scene is like in terms of, is it really even indie artists anymore, or is it just mainstream artists? I mean, what's it like on the ground there?
It's a full mixed bag, you know, and I think the same thing, like, oh, do I want to go to South by Southwest? It's going to be, you know, is it really a smart thing to do? And then you get here and you see who's here, and you know, and I mean, I just met Kathleen Edwards the other day. We were talking. She's one of my favorite female singer-songwriters. Do you know her?
I know of her. I remember her from years ago. She's really talented.
Yeah, she's amazing. And like, just there's, you know, Matthew Cause is here from Not a Surf. And like, there's a lot of super talented people that are here doing their thing. You know, so it's a total mixed bag of stuff. I'm not here looking to try to get a record deal. You know, I'm not looking to try to get an agent. I'm not looking to try to get a manager.
Why not? I mean, why wouldn't you be looking for those things? It would make your life easier if you had all of those things, I would think.
Maybe, but like, maybe not. It can make it more complex, you know? One might think that, but I mean, you can book your own shows now, you know, and not have to give somebody you can do stuff on your own. You can build your own team.
Yeah, of course. But then why are you out there? Because that's an industry staple. Like in terms of like, yeah, it's fun to play in front of a room full of people and that's cool, but there's a lot of, it's a lot to get. I mean, I guess you can stay in your van. Oh, but you're staying at an Airbnb and stuff. But
yeah,
why are you there then if you're not looking for those things? Or are you kind of looking for those things, but that's not the only reason you're there?
I mean, I'm there just because I got an official showcase. You know, I got in. Do you know what I'm saying? So like you submit and then, you know, and then usually for 20 years, I never even got the time of day. You know, in the last 2 years, I've gotten in. I got two. Usually you get one official showcase. This year I got two. And like, I don't know, man, it's a trip to be here and be like this guy who's like kind of getting a little bit known a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And you feel mm-hmm. that it's more of just an energy thing. What comes from it, we'll see, you know, we'll see what kind of word of mouth chatter comes from it. But it's really just like, you know, if you get in, why not go? You know,
absolutely. That's cool. I didn't realize you sort of got accepted as an official selection. That's kind of a big deal, I guess. I mean, you know, it's not easy to do.
It's not, you know,
who decides, by the way,
dude, it's all, you know, it's all who, you know, in political, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
is it, like, do you know somebody?
I mean, you know, I mean, some people on our team knew some people there, you know, which helped. But dude, everyone's trying to work it. You know, I mean, every industry person at a label is like, who do I know to sell, but you know, to get their artist in. So it's all that. It's like you submit, but then it's like, who do you know on the inside that can get you in? Because dude, think about the amount of submissions they must get. Like, do they even go through them? Probably not. It's just,
right.
You know, everybody submits. Then all of a sudden, like the last like month before, they're just like, okay, who do we know that's filtering this for us? You know?
Who's headlining out there? Like I mentioned before, there was like years when REM was playing and everybody went to Stubbs Barbecue in the big outside venue and it was impossible to get in, even if you had the pass to get in everywhere kind of thing. Is there some headliners out there?
I mean, the Black Keys are doing something I heard about. But man, there's this, it's called South by South San Jose or something like that. It's a crazy outdoor stage right here on South Congress, and it's kind of like where everybody congregates, and it's just like free. You walk in, it's a killer outside like neighborhood stage, and it's just badass, man. It's just, it sounds incredible. It's like 1,000 people standing there, you know, and just it's pretty cool, man. And you know, and there's a list of all the bands that are playing, and like you look at this list of bands, dude, and you'd be lucky if you knew maybe two of them.
Mm. But the Black Keys are one of them. That's my homie, Patrick. I mean, I went to the same high school as those guys. So that's awesome.
I don't even know. Yeah, they're from Ohio?
Yeah, I went to the same high school. They're from Akron.
Something in the water, man.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Chrissy Hynde went to our high school as well, from the Pretenders. And Rachel Sweet. And Devo is from Akron. Come on, man.
Whip it.
Whip it good.
Whip it good. That's crazy, man. Akron, dude.
Yeah. Hey, dude, AA comes from Akron. All of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the Bethlehem of AA. Think about that. That's like one of the biggest spiritual movements of modern times. And that's right from little old Akron. That's where Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson met. Bill Wilson was freaking out and called Dr. Bob. He was on a business trip in Akron, Ohio, dude.
Dude, I so want to go to a meeting in Akron, Ohio, man.
I went. Me and my dad, sorry to break my dad's anonymity, but me and my dad went to the first ever AA meeting. You can go to the first one. There's a, yeah.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. Next time you're in Ohio, if I'm there, man, we'll go.
Love to, dude. I'd love to. Maybe we could hit one. Maybe we could hit one in Zona on my way back.
All right. Well, I'm down, man. I would love to see you. I would take you on a hike, if not that. But I mean, how is it for you staying sober out there? How are you doing mentally and emotionally? Especially feeling like some success come in, which congratulations, by the way, and on the new single. But that can be a dangerous time. I mean, for me, I think those were times where I was more triggered to like cave into old addictive behavior than when things were really tough. When things are really tough, I tend to get eye of the tiger. Like I tend to like go on runs and, you know, focus and pray to God and say, please help me. And, you know, but when I'm like rolling deep and things are kind of moving and shaking, all of a sudden I get a little bit more tempted. What about for you?
Totally agree, man. 100%. Same page. I mean, when I'm back home in the desert and I'm not on the road doing this, doing the thing, you know, I'm like working out, going for hikes with the dogs, then tempted to go to like a hot yoga class and be like, is it normal to work out for 3 hours in a day? You know, is it too much? It's like,
it is for me, dude.
I know, you know, and it's just, it's good for my head. I like exercising and you know, I like taking care of myself. You know, I'm sober. I eat pretty well. I mean, but I try to keep this mode going when I'm out on the road. But like, I can get very like excited, man, when there's some good shows and I'm hearing this feedback from people, like, you know, people telling me like how great they think the show is or whatever, you know, and it makes me think like, oh my God, man, I got to be doing this more. And I get into the more and more and more, and I sort of almost kind of panic, like, dude, we got to get booking, dude. I'm telling you, you got to catch up to all these people, you know? And it's like,
yeah, that same sort of thing happens to me, dude. I'll start working on stuff and something will trigger me, like where I get into that weird panic mode and the ego gets engaged and goes, oh, but you're not doing it enough. You're not doing it right. And all that stuff. And you start like running around like a chicken with your head cut off.
It's absolutely what happens. And I mean, there's a part of me that just wants to get in my van right now and just keep going, you know, and booking shows and just, you know, and I mean, and just like, you know, just all of a sudden, next thing you know, man, you're spun out and you got a cocktail in your hand at the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't take it back to the breath and do the things to stay grounded, man. That's why I have to do my routines and, you know, like we do to like stay even keeled, man. I think the game is all about staying even keeled. No super high highs, no super low lows. Don't get too excited. Don't get too crazy when you play for hundreds of people and they all tell you you're great. Cause trust me, the next few days you're going to be playing to nobody somewhere. That's just been my experience. So not like Joseph Arthur, who, you know, has fans all around.
Millions. Every time I play, dude, it's at least 100 million people that come see me play and they are all screaming and they all write me love letters. All right. Let me take a quick break. We'll be right back after these words on TNT.
When I had my heart event close to 4 years ago, I was at the gym, thought I deserve a coffee, and thought I'll top up with fuel, ordered a coffee. But while I was pumping fuel, I started to get chest pains. Then it got worse and worse and worse. So then I was leaning on the counter thinking, yeah, something's not quite right. So then I went to wait for the coffee, and that's when it really, really hit. And Joy just, you know, mouthed, do you need an ambulance? And I remember nodding. I wasn't even thinking about a heart attack. I just thought, something is seriously wrong with me here. So when the cardiologist came to see me, she informed me that I'd had what they call a widowmaker heart attack. Bit of a shock when someone says, you know, you nearly died. Everybody should be aware of all the symptoms of a heart attack that women can have that aren't typical of the shoulder pain, the right arm pain. I go to the gym, I do yoga, Pilates, I swim, I go on bike rides, and yet I still had a heart attack. You just don't know, it could be you.
From weather and traffic reports
to news of political developments,
We turn to journalists for the information we need to live our daily lives.
Journalists around the world provide the news that is essential for democracy,
for personal freedom, and for safety and stability.
Yet their ability to report freely and safely is under attack like never before.
Too many journalists are paying with their lives.
They face exponential risks, and they've already paid a heavy toll.
Death threats, online harassment, and physical attacks
are becoming a daily experience of journalists in all countries.
We just want people to be safe, to be able to get our readers the information that they need to make informed decisions.
They checked my phone and realized that it was Pegasus. I feel myself like I'm naked in the street.
These charges were politicized from the start.
Facts win. Truth wins. Justice wins.
C'est énorme pour moi d'être là, d'être libre, surtout que je ne m'y attendais pas du tout.
Stand with a free press.
Stand with journalists whose reporting won't be silenced. Press freedom is your freedom.
You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back. Welcome to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with singer-songwriter Brad Bird, who's playing from South by Southwest right now out there in Austin, Texas. The big event, all the indie rock musicians and big tech people even are conglomerating for. It's pretty hysterical out there. Austin's become like such a huge comedy scene now with Joe Rogan being out there and Kill Tony and all the famous comedians. Have you seen, are you interested in Kill Tony? Do you know what that is? And are you going to go check out the mothership, Joe Rogan's comedy place out there?
I heard that Joe has a spot out here, you know, and he moved from LA out here, what, like a few years ago or something like that? But I don't know about the Kill. What is it?
Kill Tony. It's Tony Hinchcliffe's comedy special. I mean, comedy podcast. It's a live podcast where they bring out amateur comedians and then sort of heckle them. It's great. It's funny.
I love me some good comedy, you know. I don't go to comedy shops enough, you know. I've been to the Comedy Store in L.A., but or the Laugh Factory for that matter, which is kind of crazy that I haven't. Have you been there?
I don't think so. Yeah, I need to go to comedy more often as well. But anyway, man, play your new jam. Play the single. This is called Cold World, right? Tell us what it's about.
It's just about how life can just always kind of be the same day over and over again. You feel like you're making no progress ever, even though you are, but it's hard to see it. And I don't know, it's just like my reflection of the world, but it also tells my own personal story, my own personal struggle, and you know, just trying to like let go of resentments and keep moving forward. But you know, it kind of just seems like it's Groundhog Day all the time. So anyways, here it is, called Cold World. Thank you.
It's hard to forget the past when I sing this song. There's so many questions I still have in a cold world. We'll feel it out. It's a slow burn. We'll feel it.
Single out now. Did you make a video for that?
I did.
Oh yeah, what's it look like? What's the theme of it?
It's kind of like a lyric video ish. I'm just kind of like walking around on my property, just like a one shot, no edits, just me kind of walking around.
Like selfie style, just like pointing the camera to yourself or pointing it out?
Yeah, no, I just had a buddy just shoot me walking through the desert, you know.
Like a sort of bittersweet symphony, but the desert style kind of thing?
A little bit, yeah. It's sort of like Coldplay Yellow, you know, where Chris Martin's just walking on the beach.
Right.
But we shot it like when it was like stormy out, so it's dark. It's almost like purple lighting, and it's kind of interesting, man. Yeah, it's I don't know. It's simple, and we shot it in like 15 minutes. You know?
Really?
It's one of the cooler, I think, videos I've done, and it was like we did it in 15 minutes, man. It was like I've done, you know how it is. We've done extravagant videos before, but this is like super fast. I told my buddy Jeremy, who's a great, whatever DP guy, and he lives down the street. I'm like, dude, come over. The lighting's like dark and moody. I just want to like walk around my property, and he shot it, and we captured what we needed to capture for this. The song, I wanted something like cold and dark and stormy. So,
and what inspired that song? It's got a kind of an interesting turnaround, and it's like it's reminiscent of sort of 90s indie rock on some level. It's like almost shoegazy too, or Pavement, or like sort of kind of shoegaze, you know, shoegaze indie rock kind of vibe or something. What inspired the turnaround?
In terms of when you say turnaround, what do you mean?
Like it's a cold world, like the change, I guess, the turnaround, you know.
Oh, the chorus?
Yeah, I guess the chorus. It's like, it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know how it is. It's like songs. It's just like how does it come to you? You know, like how do you the chord progression? You know, like it just happens. You know, you're just like I don't even know where it came from, what it is. I mean, I don't try to do anything with songs. I just play the guitar and something happens. But I mean, I feel like I've merged the world of like kind of indie rock with alt country ish.
Mm-hmm.
Those two sounds a little bit, and you know, I'm kind of proud to be able to say that like that's kind of my sound because I love those two types. I love that world, that indie rock UK, you know, type vibe too, and I love alt country songs as well. And I like to kind of be somewhere in the middle of those two things. I don't know if that makes any sense, but a lot of, like a verse will be like alt country, and the chorus will be like reminiscent of something. More indie rock or something like that. They sort of kind of move around throughout the song a little bit.
And when you're out there playing the South by Southwest, are you doing solo acoustic or because you also do the thing where you play drums and guitar and do loops and do all that stuff, one man band stuff at the same time. Is that the rig you have out there? How are you doing it?
Well, you know, inspired by yours, you know, by the man.
Thanks, man. I wasn't fishing for that.
No, you got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, you were. You have been a huge influence on me, and you are, and you always will be. But
thanks, man.
No, for sure. No, last night was a full band, 4-piece band.
You know, nice.
It's a treat to do a rocker with the band. You know, as you.
Yeah,
know.
I think that would sound really good with a full band. I mean, it sounded good acoustic, but I would love to hear that with a full band live.
I was like holding the guitar with my legs, so I didn't play it as well as I would normally play that one. But
that sounded good, man.
The band, but you know, most of the shows are solo on the road, you know, like you know, it's like if you want to make a little bit of money, it's hard to have the band, and so the solo thing is super fun.
Did you fly the band in for this showcase or how did that work?
I play with a guitar player and a bass player who lives in Austin, who was
okay.
This dude who I play drums with plays drums with me in LA. He was planning on being out here anyway, so my drummer from, you know.
Nice.
So it was LA drummer and Austin bass player, Austin guitar player. And
are you guys done now? I mean, what are you going to do now? Just hang out for the next few days and watch bands? You got any more shows to do? And then what's the plan moving forward?
I'm done. Like, you know, I've had shows every day pretty much this week. But I'm leaving, heading out tomorrow in the van and just heading back to California, you know? You know, I just hit up a venue in Tucson, man, that I played last year and just seeing if they could fit me in like Sunday night on the fly or something, you know? Like I'm like in that mode now where I'm just like, 'cause I just want to be playing, man. But I know it's like you want to find that booking agent, you want to have it all perfectly work, but it's hard to find these people. Man, I don't know.
You know, it's not easy. It's definitely, you know.
You've had a booking agent, a real booking agent.
I got one again, man, and I got a tour in France getting ready to be booked and some gigs happening in London. So people are booking me shows again. Thank God, man. It's
congrats.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
Is it a tour in Paris or is it a one-off?
Yeah, it's a tour. No, it's a like 5 or 6 shows, I think, or 4 or 5. And then again in September, there's another series of dates. And I mean, I'm limiting it to 1 week because I have my daughter. Like they would extend it more, but I can't do that kind of stuff anymore. I got a little child, man. That's my priority. And then, you know, I can't be a road dog anymore.
You told him, hey, I'm not footloose and fancy free here. I got
not anymore, bro. I got a child, sweet child of mine, man. You know, that's the priority. But I need to also, you know, get out there and put the music out there too. Like that's a big deal. And to show her like, you know, that, you know, to keep a dream and a passion alive is important as well. Right.
For sure. Absolutely, man. You know, you got to do it all. You got to do it both. I mean, and that's the thing. We have responsibilities. You have to be home. You can't just throw it all you know, on black and just go for it. And it's good. You need responsibilities to anchor you, you know, and you know, there's time to go on the road and do the thing. And then there's time to be home and do that thing, you know, and it's yep. like the balance.
Balance again.
It's all about balance. I think, you know, so I see that the time might be up.
The time is up, man. Brad Bird, thank you for coming on. We could keep talking Joe Rogan style probably for 2 hours, but we can't do it, unfortunately, right now. We'll have to have you back maybe from the desert and get you to play another song once the record comes out. But thanks for coming on. Tell everyone where to find you.
You can find me at brad-bird.com. That's B-Y-R-D. Yeah, brad-bird.com, and from there you can find me on social media and all those things that everyone's on, you know.
Nice. All right, Brad. Well, the song sound great, man. Congratulations for the South by Southwest success. Give my love to Marnie, and you guys drive safe to the desert, okay?
Thanks, brother. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. Keep listening, everybody. We'll be back with more on TNT.